from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, here are the programs for today's edition on Thursday, January the 4th, 2018. As usual, we will begin with the news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and we will end today's edition, as usual, with the music program called Music Corner. Listener, that is our programs for today. So, stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sanawi with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo discusses regional and presidential elections with chairmen of political parties. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants comprehensive study related to MD3 law. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo acknowledges that his meeting with chairmen of political parties was held to discuss the implementation of the simultaneous regional head election in 2018 and the presidential election in 2019. The president said that he held the meeting to ensure that the elections, both regionally and nationally, can run safely and peacefully. However, he affirmed that the meeting with the chairman of the political parties has not discussed the list of candidates for president and vice president who will fight in the 2019 presidential election.
Pertemuan dengan Bu Mega, pertemuan dengan
The meeting with Madam Mega, Mr. Romi, Mr. Surya Paloh, Mr. Muhaimin Iskandar, Mr. Osman Sabta, and the meeting with Mr. Zulkifli was a routine one. We discussed all about how to ensure the safety and peaceful condition of the presidential election.
Berbicara mengenai Pilpres, ya berbicara mengenai Pilkada Nasional, agar aman, agar tentram, seperti apa, ya kira-kira kurang lebih itu.
Earlier on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo met with Chairman of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, Megawati Soekarnoputri, at Batu Tulis Palace in Bogor, West Java. More recently, the President has also met the Chairman of the National Mandate Party, who is concurrently the Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Zulkifli Hasan. Both held a closed meeting at the State Palace in Jakarta. In addition, on several occasions, President Joko Widodo also met Chairman of the United Development Party, Roma Hurmuzi, Chairman of the National Democratic Party, Nasdem, Surya Paloh, Chairman of the Conscience Party, Hanura, Osman Sabta Odang, and Chairman of the National Awakening Party, PKB, Muhaimin Iskandar. Indonesian President Joko Widodo affirmed that he has not signed the law on the People's Consultative Assembly, the People's Legislative Assembly, and the Regional House of Representatives and the Regional Representative Council, MD3. The President wants an in-depth review of the Act. After attending the National Zikir and the opening of the National Working Meeting of Majlis Zikir Hubul Wathon in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 21st, President Joko Widodo said that he does understand the concerns in the society related to the law passed by the House of Representatives, DPR, some time ago. The President hopes that the MD3 law will not be the cause of the declining quality of democracy in Indonesia.
Saya memahami keresahan-keresahan yang ada di masyarakat. Banyak yang mengatakan ini hukum.
I understand the polemics that exist in the society. Many say that this law and ethic are mixed up. Some say politics is mixed with the law. Those are the opinions I read, which I heard in the community. I do not think we all want to undermine the quality of our democracy, but until now, it is already on my table. I have not signed it, as I want to study whether I sign it or not.
Belum saya tanda tangani karena saya ingin agar ada kajian-kajian apakah perlu tanda tangan atau tidak.
President Joko Widodo further said that he would not issue a government regulation in lieu of law related to the ratification of the new MD3 Act, but he views that based on the regulation, the public have the opportunity to challenge the law to the Constitutional Court because they are unsatisfied with the decision of the House. President Joko Widodo asked the scholars to participate in creating conducive situation among the people ahead of the Democratic Party, namely the 2018 regional head election and 2019 presidential election, in his speech at National Zikir and the opening of the National Working Meeting of Majlis Zikir Hubul Waton at Hajj Dormitory Pondok Gede in East Jakarta Wednesday. The president disclosed the message to the ulemas, especially those in the electoral district. President views that the implementation of the democratic festivity should not be a vilifying event and spreading slander both between the contestants of the regional head elections and its supporters.
Saya ingin mengajak seluruh ulama.
I want to invite ulemas to provide shade and conducive situation in every corner of the country, because this is our People's Democratic Party that should not be filled with hoax spread, mutual slander that is very prohibited by our religion. Furthermore, the president emphasized the need for the government to maintain good relations with the ulemas. He views that on one hand, ulemas or the Islamic scholars teach religious teachings. They also become the channeling of the public's voice to the government. On the other hand, the government also needs the existence of ulemas to deliver development programs being run by the government. National Zikir and the National Working Meeting of Majlis Zikir Hubul Watan is held with the theme of strengthening the commitment of Islam nationality towards national order. This first National Working Meeting was attended by approximately 1,000 invitees and 500 participants consisting of ulemas and Islamic leaders across Indonesia. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Malaysian Ambassador to Indonesia Zahrain Muhammad Hashim said that Malaysian government will monitor and guard the death case of a female worker from East Nusa Tenggara province, Adelina Jemira Sau. Even the Malaysian government makes sure that the perpetrators who are guilty will be processed legally in accordance with local law. Meanwhile, the trial process with two suspects who were Adelina's employers was held at Bukit Mertajam Court, Penang, Malaysia on Wednesday, February 21st. When holding a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, Ambassador Zahran Muhammad Hashim explained that one of Adelina's employers is charged on immigration case because of employing non-procedural foreign worker.
Ini adalah isu manusiawi ataupun humanitarian yang harus kita tentang.
It is a humanitarian issue which we must fight together. The Malaysian government will not compromise with the crime, and we will make sure that the criminals who are responsible for the death are arrested and on trial in accordance with the law in Malaysia. And if guilty, maximum penalty which is dropped to the guilty is a hanging to death.
Hukuman maksimal yang boleh dijatuhkan kepada pesalah adalah hukuman gantung sampai mati.
Ambassador Zahrin Muhammad Hisham further stated that Deputy Prime Minister of Malaysia Ahmad Zahid Hamidi invited Indonesian Minister of Manpower Hanif Dakhiri next April to hold a bilateral meeting to discuss improvement of operational standard procedure for Indonesian workers working in Malaysia. The Deputy Prime Minister added that the meeting will discuss the main focus related with employers' and workers' interests, better payroll standards, and protection for Indonesian workers. At least 3,000 personnel of National Board for Disaster Mitigation and the Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency of Indonesia took part in the National Working Meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali. Chairman of the National Board for Disaster Mitigation Agency, Willem Rampangile, told the press in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday that the meeting was to discuss the performance evaluation of National Board for Disaster Mitigation and the Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency 2017. Willem assessed that the evaluation will become the base in formulating the strategy work in 2018.
Oleh karena itu di dalam rapat ini
Therefore, in this meeting, firstly, we must decide priority. Secondly, we cannot manage disaster by traditional ways, no more with business as usual. We need innovation, utilization of technology, and development of capacity building. Willem further explained that during 2017, his agency has succeeded in reducing risk disaster mitigation. It can be viewed from the number of the deaths due to natural disaster which happened in Indonesia. He views that the condition was supported by the readiness and awareness of all stakeholders. Not only government but also community was active in reducing the risk of natural disasters in 2017. The meeting, attended by a number of cabinet ministers, is being held starting from February 21st until 23rd. Of the total 540 regencies and cities, 440 have been connected with bandwidth and the remaining will be followed in the end of the year. Besides bandwidth, 50 regencies and cities in Indonesia Indonesia will also be connected with Palapa Ring, which until now still continues to be developed. This was stated by Chairman of National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, to the press in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 21st.
Dari 530 atau 540 kabupaten kota.
From 530 or 540 regencies and cities, 440 have been connected with bandwidth. This means that they are ready to be involved in digital economy. Around 50 regencies and cities are being connected with Palapa Ring. Its target will finish in 2019. Then 20 are built by private operator so that in 2019, practically almost all regencies and cities have been connected.
Pada tahun 2019, praktis hampir semua kabupaten kota sudah terjangkau.
Bambang Brojonegoro further said that the connection shows the readiness of Indonesia in facing the rapid development of the digital world. He views that all cities which have been connected with bandwidth and Palapa Ring become big capital for Indonesia to utilize digital economy which has big potential. Palapa Ring is a national fiber optic network construction project which will reach throughout Indonesia with sea and land wires. The Palapa Ring will support bandwidth connection throughout Indonesia. And the last item, the Indonesian government plans to update vocational education. Head of National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, told the media in Jakarta on Wednesday that the update will be conducted from curriculum, infrastructure, school building until other supporting instruments. The purpose of the update is to produce as many as workers who are ready and have special skills. Insert the dubbing. It has become direction of the president that firstly we must upgrade our vocational education. Certainly from curriculum, infrastructure, school building, instruments until system of internship. Besides, we settle its vocation, we want to produce as many as workers who are ready to work skillfully and later the skills are from middle to high. Bambang Brojonegoro added that vocational education is not enough for formal education. He views that there is a form of vocational education whose base is not from formal education such as training centers and specific courses. Competency-based certification also has an important role. With a certification, employers can employ workers who have clear standard of skills. Bambang Brojonegoro also said that the workers who receive certain competency certifications do not need to worry about not being absorbed by the employment, because they will enter the category of work that is not easily replaced by automation. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo discusses regional and presidency elections with chairman of political parties. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants comprehensive study related to MD3 law. And that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's is 21st February as the Day of International Mother Tongue. In 2008, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, used to say that if a language is extinct, the world loses its precious legacy. And a lot of legends, poetry and knowledge gathered from generation to generation will go extinct. The language is so important so that since February 21, 1999, UNESCO has determined the International Mother Tongue Day. The date was chosen based on the historic event of the Language Movement Day in Bangladesh. On February 21, 1952, students and communities in Eastern Bengal, now Bangladesh, took to the street to protest the marginalization of Bengali by the Pakistani central government, which only recognizes Urdu. A number of students were killed as a victim of violence in the language movement. For this reason, UNESCO selected February 21st as International Mother Tongue Day. Through its commemoration this year, UNESCO reiterates its commitment to the diversity of languages and invites its member countries to commemorate as much as possible. It is also a reminder that language diversity and multilingualism are essential for sustainable development. Then how does Indonesia respond the International Mother Tongue Day? From 1992 to mid-2016, the language agency has documented 646 local languages throughout Indonesia. The number of languages that had been verified and mapped reaches as many as 617 local languages. Summer Institute of Linguistics, a non-profit scientific organization in the United States that studies, develops, and documents lesser-known languages, reports that the number of languages in Indonesia is 742, and 737 of which are still actively spoken. In the meantime, less than 10% or maybe only 5% of Indonesian languages had been researched by linguists to be concerned because there are no more their speakers. 145 languages whose speakers are fewer than 1 million people continue to decline. It is estimated that 30 of the 58 local languages in West Papua had been extinct over the past 20 years. In addition, around 15 local languages such as Miyans, Mompur, Dunser, and Korondori in West Papua are also confirmed to have been out of use by their speakers. According to UNESCO, language is the center of social, economic, and cultural life. It is not just the reset of language, language also determines social struggles in completing economic development in a global area by prioritizing knowledge and local wisdom. In addition, the commemoration of International Mother Tongue Day in some regions is a venue for local language lovers with different backgrounds, professions, and even ages to share. Mother Tongue is about not only for artists, writers, or local humanists, but also all the stakeholders of Indonesian nation to preserve the mother tongue. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, of Air Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, it started for an event on February 22, 1921, about Reza Khan update on Ahmad Syiar Qajar. On February 22, 1921, a update which determined the history of Iran, led by under Reza Khan, a soldier who had strong relationship with England. The operation of the coup was so smooth so that in a short time Reza Khan succeeded to control Tehran. Because of being extremely fearful, Ahmad Syiar Qajar, the king of Iran at the time, did not fight back and immediately installed Reza Khan as a supreme military commander of Iran kingdom. Afterwards, because of England's support, which installed him as a representative of London in Iran region, finally, Reza Khan ascended the throne to be a king replacing Ahmad Syiar Qajar. But following the tendency of Reza Khan to support Germany in World War II, England then removed him from power and expelled him from Iran. And the next event is that in 1978, Istiqlal was officially inaugurated as one of the biggest mosques in the world. Istiqlal was built as a mercusuar or means lighthouse project by the Indonesian first president Soekarno, by laying down the first stone on August 24, 1961. The mosque, which is located in central Jakarta, was officially inaugurated by the second president Suharto on February 22, 1978. Until now, it is still noted as the biggest mosque in the Southeast Asia. Quoted from Kompas and Indonesian daily newspaper, the mosque can accommodate until 200,000 people. Besides having luxurious appearance, Istiqlal also symbolizes many kinds of his name. From his name, for example, Istiqlal comes from Arabic language meaning independence. The name is used as a form of gratitude on the independence of Indonesia. The location of Istiqlal, which stands in front of a cathedral church, also become a symbol of tolerance. It is very important meaning for Indonesian people with various backgrounds of tribes, religions, and cultures. And the last event is that 1997, Dolly, the first cloning ship in the world, was introduced. On February 22, 1997, a cloning ship was introduced by Scotland scientist Kate Campbell. The ship was named Dolly. Dolly, which was created at Roslin Institute, Edinburgh, Scotland, was actually born on July 5, 1999. But Dolly was just introduced to the public several months later. Dolly that was introduced to the international community was in healthy condition and at the age of 7 months. His physical feature was similar with the DNA of the dinosaur ship. The introduction of Dolly was considered as a milestone of cloning history in the world. Dolly was considered as the most significant scientific breakthrough in 1990s. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to the regular program, My Indonesia. Today we'll inform you that Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry enhances communities' participation to prevent forest and land fire. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry approached the community as one of the solutions in a bid to prevent forest and land fires. This was stated by Director of Forest and Land Fire Control at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Raffles Panjaitan, when opening the facilitator training for Manggala Agni, Forest and Land Fire Control Forces, or Karhutla, in South Kalimantan Province on Monday, February 19. Raffles Panjaitan said that the intensive approach and socialization will change the habits of people in opening and clearing the land for plantations and agriculture. In the training, Manggala Agni Force is provided with a systematic approach to the community which can enhance community participation in preventing forest and land fires. Earlier in 2017, similar training was also conducted by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry in the Riau, South Sumatra, and Central Kalimantan provinces. Raffles Panjaitan further said that the training was carried out in a prone area that is currently still safe from fire. Then, similar training will be carried out in Jambi and East Kalimantan provinces. He said that the facilitation technique is expected to be applied by Manggala Agni in implementing preventive activities such as patrol or socialization to the community. As the spearhead of the ministry in controlling the fire, Manggala Agni's approach to the community is very important. Along with the local community in the field, they will keep the forest and land from the threat of fire. Meanwhile, currently, Forest and land firefighting remains ongoing in some regions, such as in Riau Province, West Kalimantan, and Central Kalimantan. This is due to the difficult access and lack of water resources in the field. Raffles Panjaitan also remarked that he hoped the number of hotspots could continue to decline, both in Riau and West Kalimantan, so Manggala Agni can focus on the preventive activities such as patrolling, capacity building, and socialization to the community. That was today's My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo acknowledged that his meeting with chairmen of political parties was held to discuss the implementation of the simultaneous regional election in 2018 and the presidential election in 2019. The president said that he held a meeting to ensure that the elections both regionally and nationally can run safely and peacefully. President Joko Widodo affirmed that he has not signed the law on the People's Consultative Assembly, the People's Legislative Assembly, the Regional House of Representatives, and the Regional Representative Council MD3. The president wants an in-depth review of the act. President Joko Widodo asked the scholars, the Islamic scholars, to participate in creating conducive situation among the people ahead of the Democratic Party, namely the 2018 regional head election and 2019 presidential election. Malaysian Ambassador to Indonesia Zahrain Muhammad Hashim said that Malaysian government will monitor and guard the death case of female worker from East Nusa Tenggara province, Adelina Jemira Sau. Even the Malaysian government makes sure that the perpetrators who are guilty will be processed legally in accordance with the local law. At least 3,000 personnel of National Board for Disaster Mitigation and the Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency of Indonesia took part in the National Working Meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali. Chairman of the National Board for Disaster Mitigation Agency, William Rapangile, told the press in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday that the meeting was to discuss the performance evaluation of the National Board for Disaster Mitigation and the Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency 2017. Of the total 540 regencies and cities, 440 have been connected with bandwidth, and the remaining will be followed in the end of the year. Besides bandwidth, 50 regencies and cities in Indonesia will also be connected with Palaparing, which until now still continues to be developed. This was stated by Chairman of National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, to the press in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 21st. And the last item. The Indonesian government plans to update vocational education. Head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, told the media in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 21st, that the update will be conducted from curriculum, infrastructure, school building, until other supporting instruments. The purpose of the update is to produce as many as workers who are ready and have special skills. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit agro-tourism of Kumpai Batu Atas Village. Stay tuned. Kota Waringin Barat is one of the regencies in Central Kalimantan province with the capital city of Pangkalan Bun. The regency can be your tourist destination if you visit Indonesia, because the various types of fairly complete tourism be found in Pangkalan Bun. You can find tourism activities such as agro-tourism, historical tours, and beautiful photo objects. In today's edition of the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder, we'll introduce you to one of the leading tourist attractions in Kota Waringin Barat, namely agrotourism of Kumpai Batu Atas Village. Kumpai Batu Atas Village is 17 kilometers or about 20 minutes drive from Pangkalan Bun City. The village is located at Arut Selatan Subdistrict, Kota Waringin Barat, Central Kalimantan. It is also a transmigration village, which inhabited by population from several districts in East Java. You can find a variety of agrotourism in Kumpai Batu Atas Village, South Arut District. One of them is coffee agrotourism. The coffee variety is grown in Kampung Kopi, Arabusta, and Liberica coffee varieties. However, the most popular is Liberica coffee. The coffee trees have been planted since the transmigrants began to live in the village in 1977. Traveling to Kumpai Batu Atas Village, you can see the beginning until the last process of Liberica coffee. There are 801 coffee trees, which are divided into 12 points. Each point is planted with 50 to 70 trees. Getting to know Liberica coffee, there is a tour package to get around the coffee garden for 3 hours. The package including the introduction of Liberica coffee, the way of sipping the coffee, and lunch. In the introduction part, you will be invited to know the character of the coffee directly. The Liberica tree looks higher than the Arabica coffee tree. The height even reaches 2 meters. In addition, Liberica lives on peatland. The size of the fruit is much larger than Arabica coffee or Robusta coffee. Liberica coffee has the scent of jackfruit tree. Therefore, in East Java, the coffee is often called Kopi Nangka or jackfruit coffee. Not only coffee agrotourism, Kumpai Batu Atas Village also has lychee agrotourism and orange garden. Not much different from coffee agrotourism, following oranges and lychee agrotourism, you are also introduced more detail about the fruits. You are also invited to pick the fruits and will enjoy the fruits directly on the garden. Moreover, you can also buy it for souvenir. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with a topic about agrotourism in Kumpai Batu Atas Village, Central Kalimantan Province. Tomorrow we'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Voice of Indonesia in My Language program as media to preserve Indonesian regional language. Hello listeners, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman in My Language. In today's edition, we are going to take you to visit Maluku Province to know more about Hitu language. Listeners, besides being rich in natural resources, Maluku Province as a home of Hitu language, also has tourism destinations such as Ora Beach, Moorblot Beach, Twelve City, Amsterdam Fort, and the World Peace Gong. In Maluku, tourists can find a wonderful place with a beautiful scenery and add historical knowledge. The number of Hitu language speakers decrease every year. If it is happen continuously, Hitu language will be extinct. But the government doesn't keep silent. Through the Language Development Agency under the Ministry of Education and Culture, Indonesia continues to revitalization efforts along with Hitu people. Listener, here are some examples of Hitu language. Orasila, orasila. In English, what time? What time? Saat le. In English, now. In English, now. Kahu, kahu. In English, nine. In English, nine. Husalima, husalima. In English, 15, 15. Waktu, waktu. In English, watch, watch. Manesa, manesa. In English, prices, prices. Here is an example of conversation in Hitu language. The conversation is between Laimena and Nuku asking about time. Laimena, orasila Nuku, orasila Nuku. In English, what time is it Nuku? What time is it Nuku? Nuku, apei yawa alahime, apei yawa alahime. In English, let's see. Let's see. Saat le orasiwa kahu menit hasulima. Saat le orasiwa kahu menit husalima. In English, it's 9:15 now. It is 9:15 now. Laimena, iyo yau waktu e salahu manesa. Iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. In English, is your watch always prices? Is your watch always prices? Nuku, iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. Iyo yau wakatu salah. Iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. In English, sure, my watch is always precise. Sure, my watch is always precise. Laimena, terima kasih, terima kasih. In English, thank you, thank you. Listener, make sure you send your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today's edition of My Language as media to conserve regional language variety in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from The Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll dedicate to you nostalgic songs from Indonesian female singer Vina Panduwinata. To initiate today's music corner, I'll play the first song entitled September Ceria. Enjoy the song.
Di ujung kemarau panjang yang gersang dan menyakitkan, kau datang menghantar berjuta kesejukan. Nafasku, kau beri warna bagi kelabu jiwaku. Tatkala butiran hujan mengusik impian seru, kau hadir di sini di batas harapan baru untuk menyongsong masa depan bersama. September ceria, September ceria, September ceria, September ceria, mari kita bersama.
Entitled September Ceria, sung by one of Indonesian pop diva, Vina Panduwinata. This song included in the debut album of Vina Panduwinata entitled Persona, which was released in 1982. The song composed by James F. Sunda was a leading song in the album. The popularity of the song September Ceria in the music industry at that time lifted the name of Vina Panduwinata. At that time, the song September Ceria was often dedicated by young couples who are in love. However, for the composer of the song, James F. Sunda, the song has its own story. According to him, in September, the whole world felt the change. The country of four seasons entered the autumn. The country in the southern part of the world entered the spring, while the tropical country began to enter the rainy season. So, the change weather, according to James F. Sunda, feels good to compose a song. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Di Dadaku Ada Kamu by Vina Panduwinata.
Di dadaku ada senyummu, ada cintamu, ada hasratmu, ada kumismu, ada kupingmu di dalam dadaku. Ada kamu. Di hatiku tersimpan wajahmu, tersimpan marahmu, dan juga tangismu. Semakin ku tunggu, semakin menggebu, ingin ku miliki semua.
Listener, this song is one of other hit songs of Vina Panduwinata. The song Di Dadaku Ada Kamu is the leading song of Vina's second album entitled Citra Ceria. The album, which was released in 1984, collaborated with one of Indonesia's top arranger, Adi MS. This song tells the love story of a couple lover. Because the song is very legend, many other musicians in the country rearranged the song with their own music arrangement. One of them is the Duo Ratu group. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs by Vina Panduwinata. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.